Calling this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. Please set your phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, Happy New Year. We call roll, please.
Tom Richland.
Here.
Tom Gazdecki.
Here.
Anthony Broadnecks. Absent. Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos. You're on mute.
I see him.
Here. Ron Ware. Absent. Robert Ochi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from December 18th, 2024. I'm sure you've all read them. Any changes, modifications, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from December 18th of 2024.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? Be there or none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? They're out there forever. Just keep in mind, folks, that these are all available on the website, including the audio and visual of the meetings that we have. We're going to go into the chairman's report to keep in mind that this is a $275 million man-made project, that if you don't do maintenance, things that are on that board from 2008 have a higher probability of happening. We're far better prepared today than we were prior to 2008 by bringing in everybody in the watershed for a community effort to make sure we plan for things and do the work necessary to make sure what happened in September 2008 doesn't happen again. It's important to realize this is also an economic development project. By keeping the system the way it was designed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, we are no longer having to pay federal flood insurance for those properties along that particular part.
This meeting is being recorded.
Sorry to put on this.
So be that as it may, now we have close to $4 million every year that people no longer have to pay for mandatory federal flood insurance on their mortgages. That money goes back into the community. Enough about that. Next is the finance report. We have to pay the bills. We need a motion on the claims for January 2025. What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the claims of January 2025. In the amount of $297,980.03.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Some discussion. Mr. Repay.
We'll go through some of the claims here of the higher quantities, and then if you have any questions, you can certainly ask us, or ask me. We'll go with BBP Enterprises. They're the company that has been working on Katie Marsh Ditch for, this will be the second winter, working from Hart's Ditch going eastbound to the end of it, which is they're approaching Chase Street now. So we are assuming it's about two more weeks of work, assuming also that it doesn't get below zero too much more. But then they'll be complete with all of Katie Marsh Ditch before the leaves start flying. Next item would be Wiltshire Excavating. We did a test in Burn Box. Burn Box is basically a little incinerator of, I guess it would be a trash container, and it heats it up. It's supposed to be more efficient. We used it in a couple areas. We also invited some communities to be participate in it as well. Dyer participated, Hobart participated in it, Highland, Hobart, Gary said no, Hammond declined, Cherville declined, I think who else, Maryville, we had County, all participated in it. We had to dispose of these trees somehow. We thought this would be a more efficient way. Turned out it was probably just as costly to do it this way and more of a pain because of the safety procedures that we had to take just in case some embers got loose. We don't want that to happen. So that was the expense that we went through. And like I said, we used it in three separate locations. Well, One was in Gary for our project off of Calhoun. One was our project for Hart's Ditch off of Cobblestone. And then we had it a little bit mobile there through Dyer, like the Dyer Highland, Hobart. Actually, Hammond initially said that they were going to use it, then they canceled on us. So we moved on from there. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance for $17,000. It wasn't only for inspection, but it was for the rewiring of the PLC. They have finished two of them. The third and fourth one, which is Marshalltown and Grand West, will be done in February 1st, mainly for weather purposes. And then the Marshalltown one is set to be delivered February 7th, I believe, is what we've been given. So other than that, we have a tree program reimbursement for $12,000. We have some legal expenses and the Burke for Deep River Watershed, which we may get into some projects later on.
Any questions for Mr. Repay on the bills?
Quick question, Dan. The NIPSCO bill for the First
Here?
Street pump station doubled from last month. Were we offline last month and now we're back online?
You remember if it's Burr North or Burr South?
Burr North.
Yeah, you had a big rain event.
Yeah, I just curious.
We had snow, rain, and we also, that was the one we were working on replacing the PLC.
Okay.
So they were doing a lot of work out there.
There you go. Thanks.
Any other questions on the bills?
I just had one.
Yes, sir.
For Structure Point on Sarman Woods, is that the last invoice from them?
I confirmed that with them the other day. They have nothing else to bill, nothing else to do. And next, or this spring, we should have a groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, whatever you want to call it. So they're done with that project as far as our portion, and that is the detention and sewers that we added to that project.
Great.
Yep.
So, Dan, the clearing of the blockages from 45th to Wickham, what ditch is that?
80 Marsh.
And when was the last time anybody did any work on that? To the best of your knowledge, from the standpoint of talking to the municipalities along that run.
The county has done spot ones, but never gone thoroughly through it from A to B.
So this is the first time that anybody that's still around knows that A to B has been taken care of.
Correct.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on the bills? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
Tom Gostecki?
Yes.
Eric Niven?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
He said yeah.
He said yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, paying the bills. Next up, go ahead, Dan, Executive Director report.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit up here. We've already talked about Katie Marsh Ditch and the PLC upgrade, which for some people is programmable logic control, which I was schooled on. As I said, Marshalltown and Grant East should be complete in beginning of February. We have still not heard from the Army Corps regarding sandbarred modification. 408 or the bank stabilization for the Highland access ramps or the sluice gate modification. And so I am admitting again that I was wrong thinking that the Army Corps was going to be expedited in anything on the 408 application. We have sent them, or we will be sending here probably tomorrow, a letter to them stating our displeasure with. Was a strongly worded bill? Is that what we used before? A strongly worded letter stating that we want to get this accomplished.
That was
also
a long time ago.
Well, and they're also holding up the borings that we need for the entire levee as a part of the LOMAR application. So we've offered them a solution. Hopefully they'll go with it. They attended our O&M meeting today, and we explained to them that they'd be receiving this letter. We'll see what their responses are. I can only imagine, but there's nothing. There hasn't been a 408 approved in over a year and a half, to the best of my knowledge, from any of the things that we've sent them. But we got a check from them.
We did get our permit from the Army Corps, which was not a 408, for the Heart Ditch Stabilization Project, which is from Fran Lynn to just about Independence Park, actual park area. And so we are going to proceed with that. The county is once again taking the lead. They will do the bidding, and we will then reimburse or pay the contractor that is the lowest and most responsive bidder. At our O&M meeting today, we spent time updating our emergency plan to make sure that all of the resources, all of the people that we're supposed to contact, the traffic plan is in order in the event that we do have to close down a road or bridge. Inspections, according to the Corps, has been set for the beginning of April. That will include all of Gary, Griffith, and NDOT. We have two beaver dam removals to make in Hobart. One is off of Duck Creek, and one of them is off an unnamed lateral that runs into Porter County. They're in very remote sections. The neighbors have called us. We've worked with the city. They've given us permission to use one of their easements to float out onto this property to get those dams taken care of. We've submitted our yearly report to the state of Indiana, as we are supposed to per state law. And the levee survey work with using the drone is complete. My technical difficulties on my computer are there, but I will. Hey, look, I've got my computer guy behind me. He can't even do it. But the good thing is the levee survey using the drone is complete from state line all the way to Martin Luther King. I will send that out. We will put it out there. It's only a step one in the process. They're going to add several other layers to it. So a couple of layers is the as-builts of what they were supposed to be. The 200-year flood elevation, which is what this levee system was designed for, and then they're going to add another layer of what the 2008 flood would have done as of that thing. So it's a multi-tiered park, but the actual initial survey is done for the levee, which is also critical for a Wilmar application for the city of Gary. After that, I guess I'll take questions or comments.
Questions for Mr. Repe about what's going on in the field.
Do they have an anticipated completion date for the Lomar?
The best of my knowledge, Gary hasn't submitted anything else. We're just gathering this information as a part of the Lomar. It's the city that is taking the lead on the Lomar. We're just going to give it the information to them. It's beneficial to us, certainly, but it's them that have to submit.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned two or three deliverables just now. Could a fourth one be with all the construction, and I know we're talking about Lake George Dam as well, with all the construction that has taken place in South Lake County and coming down through Mississippi Street from south of 61st. The impact on Gary with the water coming further north and ending up at the confluence, is there any way for the survey to also include the impact of limiting economic development on the eastern corridor there, east of, let's just say east of Broadway, George Martin Luther King going east?
Part of the study that Burke had finished for us as far as the Deep River, Beaver Dam Ditch and Lateral, Beaver Dam Ditch, Turkey Creek, and then Deep River was and included parts of property that they had recommended not be developed as a part of Deep River. I don't think we can, things that we maybe should be possibly interested in acquiring that would be low-lying area that could be used for storage naturally. I don't think we can go into Hobart or Merrillville or any other community and say, look, you can't do any economic development. What we are trying to accomplish, and that's to get a little bit with the dam situation, is to get the water through in an organized fashion through Deep River. As you know, Deep River controls Little Cal. So as the faster we get the water through Deep River out to Lake Michigan, the faster Little Cal then can relieve itself and not put the pressure on the banks or the levees that we have. So we're really, from a Little Cal perspective, based off of what happens in Deep River. So, I mean, to your point, they do recommend buying some property that so you don't make it developable, but I don't know, it would be difficult, I think, to go to a community and say you can't develop anymore. It's probably look at us a little bit strange.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking out loud, south of the railroad tracks, Martin Luther King to the Career Center at 35th there, mm-hmm. which is all next to I-65.
Mm-hmm.
Does it always have to be marsh type area, or will there be enough containment for development at any point? If there is a design that can accommodate as a result of the impact of the economic development further south.
I think the area that is closest to 35th or 21st century or what health, I forget, was it Health Link up there? I think that as you get closer to 35th, that's going to be more developable. As you get closer to 94, you still have to contend with Rosser Lake draining from Lake Station across underneath I-65, ultimately into our system. So I think the area immediately adjacent to 94 is going to be very difficult. It will always be marshy. But as far as the areas up farther north, although there's two private owners in that area, and then the school city owns some property up there as well.
Got it?
Yeah, thank you. Oh, here.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? I have one. Thank you for sharing the advisory board list. Is that list something that you feel comfortable is going to stay consistent through this calendar year?
We think so. There's been a couple of communities that have changed or change often as far as their appointees. But for the most part, most of them have been consistent.
Okay. So, I mean, from the list, just for the public, there's three communities that have vacancies: St. John, Cedar Lake, and Gary. And the advisory group is the group that looks at all the watershed applications before they come here. So, and speaking of that, is also, would you do me a favor and provide the O&M list from all the municipalities and who comes to those meetings? So
I can tell you today if you want me.
I don't want to list.
Hammond was there, Hyla was there, Griffith was there.
No. The individuals to whom each municipality sends to O&M meetings. And I'm assuming it's mostly the engineering groups, but just to have that record somewhere for us year over year.
Yep.
There's one other question that I have. I can't think of it. Any other questions for Mr. Repay? Either or none. Moving right along. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to defer entering into an interlocal agreement with the City of Hammond and South Shore Visitors and Convention Bureau for engineering and design along the east side of Optimist Lake.
There's a motion to defer Optimist Lake. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Discussion, Mr. Repay.
You're deferring it.
So let me ask it this way. So I'll say that this particular project is a project at Optimist Lake. So think Kennedy Avenue and the Little Cal, that big lake where the Convention and Visitor Authority is located. They're looking to do some enhancement as it pertains to providing a cool place to capitalize on its location and that body of water. to which we want some additional information. Any other discussion? Either none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Can't hear you, Dave.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, there we go.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Ian Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for a request for proposals to develop a comprehensive watershed master plan.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
So the
Don't idea, we have one of those already?
We have two. This will be our third update, and I'll be here 15 years as of... Oh, so I didn't put it on stun.
Come on, man. You're here all the time.
So
just make sure.
Making sure I'm like, hey, look.
You call him.
I'm calling him. I call Dave over there just to make sure he got him in trouble.
You're gonna have to call him every month.
So we did one initially when we first had money. The second one, I believe, was in 2021, which was more of a update as to whether it was the initial one was accomplished or not. This one is going to be more of our scorecard and our list, our checklist, using all of the different studies that we've done over the past 4 years to hopefully identify through communities what projects they feel is important. Maybe that's changed in the past 4 or 5 years, but hopefully, well, not hopefully, we want them to use the study, just the study that we just did with Turkey Creek, a Beaver Dam Ditch, and Deep River, which are the three main areas that cover a lot of our different communities that we represent. The only ones that don't drain into those three tributaries are Dyer and Hammond, Munster, and Highland. So everyone else would be consistent with doing that. So even Gary, I believe, ultimately makes it into Turkey Creek, some parts of the southern part of Gary. So this is going to be more of the comprehensive, more looking like the original one that DLZ and SEH did for us early on in the system.
So it's going to include some of the main tributaries, obviously. But, I mean, where's the level of where we stop, like Katy Marsh? I mean, is that going to be a part of it?
Good. If we could find storage on Katy Marsh, although, I mean, what we have learned is that, you know, storing it, getting it through the system faster on the closer community. So Munster wouldn't make sense. What are you going to store? You want to get that into the system and through the system before the big rush comes down Deep River. I mean,
but then the primary scenario isn't just to find storage, or is it?
No, you can find storage. You can find improvements, culverts that are undersized. Although we've already looked at the culvert situation along Deep River and found very few that have any big impact as to any water flowing.
But this is just updating everything and then also tying in all of, like, Beaver Dam Ditch, those types of things into a more of a master comprehensive plan.
You have Niles Ditch. Now you have a lot of development now happening in Winfield. You have Turkey Creek. You've got, you know, data centers and Amazon stores going along Deep River. So it's something that hopefully maybe there could be some regional or semi-regional detention possibilities.
Happy that. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Either none. There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes. Yes.
Can't hear you.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion to authorize the executive director to seek proposals for the design and engineering of Lake George Dam and Holbrook.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
So the historical perspective and some questions that have come up along since this has been on the agenda is who owns the dam? Holbrook owns the dam, Originally constructed in 1846.
Wait, is there an aerial of the dam and where it's located in Lake George?
Well, let me explain. I said before that I was having trouble with sharing. It's fixed now. Well, look, I can fix it. So if someone, maybe the technical guru, could fix it while I'm talking, I could get over onto the map, but I will show it to you.
Killing me.
I'm trying. There was, in 2008 is when they had the peak flow, when you had nearly 5,000 cubic feet per second, which I believe calculates to like 38,000 gallons per second going through the dam. If you haven't been out there, currently there's one main channel, and then it could ultimately overtop. Two things, and we have the former engineer here, so if he'll correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, there's only one really relief valve there with a sluice gate that was built, but that sluice gate is hardly large enough to impact any water to, say, pre-disaster relief. It's just not large enough to cause any significant drawdown of water. Not to complicate matters, but we have to maintain a certain water level in that lake to begin with, from a 1956 court order that of the landowners next to it and adjacent to the lake. So the thought process is, and we have modeled it using Burke as a part of our deep river study, as to how to develop a way to allow for water to move faster through there in a more organized fashion without negatively impacting downstream, but positively impacting the downtown, which tends to get a little bit wet, especially on the walkways and in the parking lots and everywhere else in the streets down there, and improve that whole area. Now, there are some thoughts of folks that want to improve the ecological part of that dam, which would allow fish to keep moving upstream past that dam, because right now that isn't necessarily a possibility the way it's designed. I am not a fisherman, so I don't know, but I know that they looked at the project that we did in Lake Station and were intrigued by it. Sure. And possibly using something similar to that to not allow for the flood control, which is what we're mainly concerned with, but the recreational component, which sort of makes them a epicenter for their downtown development.
Any questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Be there none, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ryszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker?
Barna.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with United Consulting for design and engineering of the lift station improvements at US 41 Stormwater Lift Station in an amount not to exceed $228,000 pending legal review.
Hey, can you give me a hand?
Is there a second?
I'm not able to get my voice across.
We got you. All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? Did he just do a second?
I think so. It sounded like a second to me.
Okay, let's assume that, you know, Mr. Castellanos made the second. Go ahead, Mr. Repay.
I'll ask him if you want to get the second.
Dave, did you second that motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Go?
Yes,
please. Okay. So this item has been on the drawing board for a while. It got held up because we didn't have ownership or didn't know who had ownership of that particular pump station. That particular pump station is adjacent to the bus terminal on US 41 in Highland. And in our process, when we were closing out this project, in our discussions with NDOT, we asked them by happenstance that they had, if they had this document, and they gave us the document that turned this pump station over for operation and maintenance purposes to the town of Highland and North Township trustee. And so when they did that, in that document, it reads that they, meaning the town and North Township, can turn over operation maintenance to a third party.
Interesting.
And so when that is a possibility, it will allow us to make that pump station a lot better than what was designed. And the reason why we went with United was because the same engineer that we have doing this modification is the same engineer that designed it in the first place. He knows that there's capacity. He knows what this is capable of. What the goal is two things: lower the inlet for the water to take more water in to allow us to retire two sluice gates that are in Highland now, but also and from a safety standpoint, the trash rack or cleaning the trash rack is 100% manual, meaning you're sending people down over probably about 20 some feet into the below surface to pull up the material, what gets stuck in the trash rack, and pull it up manually. We would add a trash rack, which would automate it. And then we would also allow Highland then to maintain it for us going forward like they do now. So they are in charge of maintaining all the pumps, all the gauges, all SCADA on their end. We just add it to the inventory that we already asked them to maintain for us. They do three of them for us now. This would be a fourth.
The Wicker Park benefit.
Wicker Park benefit, yeah, thank you. Wicker Park is designed to flood. They generally bring out a pump that is from the 20s, 30s, I don't know.
It's a tractor.
A tractor, and they pump it out. If you're familiar with the golf course, it's the hole six over there, which is the lowest spot on the course, and then they pump it into the ditch, which ultimately makes it into the pump station. If we drop the inlet and we have a culvert that runs underneath the road, which is the path around, they don't have to use the tractor anymore.
And did you say the engineer that designed it is the one that is?
Same engineer.
Okay.
And I'm not going to put words in NDOT's mouth, but when he designed it, they thought of doing this. And NDOT's priority was, you have to remember that it had just flooded in 08. NDOT's priority was to make sure that Indianapolis Boulevard did not flood. So all they cared was setting the inlet for that level and nothing else or nothing further. So he knows that there's capacity. He's very familiar with it. And when he took the site visit, he's like, yep, this is, nothing's changed. And, you know, we had Highland come along with us. We asked them what the biggest concern for them was, and that was the trash rack, quite honestly. It was hard, difficult, and dangerous. They were literally filling up trash cans, going up a flight and a half of stairs and then dumping it and then going back down.
That was my question as to why we didn't bid this. But when you say the same engineer is a part of the scope,
Paul did the initial design. He remembers a lot of discussions with NDOT as to what this is. And quite honestly, we want to have a long-term, and I think everyone on this board knows, a long-term relationship with NDOT, because we think we can do some things better. We want the Kennedy Avenue pump station in Hammond that currently they have, that they built in response to the 2008 flood. We want to partner with them cleaning the ditches along 94 that helps drain not only the expressway, but helps the whole system run a lot better.
You hear the questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Either or none. Mrs. Lambert, we've got a motion and a second.
Wyszynski?
Yes.
Mr.
Rager? Yes.
I apologize for interrupting. I believe you received correspondence on this issue that needs to be made part of the record.
Sure. Who's that come from, me? Dan.
Which one? Which one? This one?
Correspondence you received on this that was part of the record.
The correspondence that was on Optimus Lake.
Is that the one you deferred?
Yes.
Yeah, they deferred it. We're good. By the way, welcome our new attorney, Nicole Bennett, everyone. There you go.
I was going to do that next, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah, I'm up here.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Rosensky.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes. Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Ron Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Next up is statements to the board from the floor. Let me start by welcoming Ms. Nicole Bennett as the new attorney for the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission. After how many years, Dan? 15 years of Mr. Wicklund. We're looking forward to a fresh set of eyes on some of the challenges that we have. So welcome, Ms. Bennett.
Thank you.
All right, next up, like I said, is the statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us, please come up to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Once, going twice. Close that, bring it back to the commission. Let's go around the horn. Brochi, let's start with you. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mr. Chairman, and Happy New Year to all the visitors here at the meeting tonight. Nothing else to add.
Mr. Nimitz.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the public for attending tonight's meeting, as well as the staff and the commissioners, and I'd like to welcome Ms. Bennett. Thank you.
Very nice. I'll echo our Commissioner Nimitz's statements. Thank you.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Same here.
Wow.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome the attorney on board. Good to see the folks out at the beginning of the new year with the adverse weather. It's not as adverse as it probably could be, but nonetheless, thank you for coming out and taking an interest in what we're doing at the start of the year. Look like we got a lot of work ahead of us that we're already sort of kicking off with for the construction season. It's going to go in the work queue for 2025, so just looking forward to a productive 2025, more minority participation. Hopefully we can get that as a part of our metric for the 2025 year as well. And just looking forward to a great year, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Castellanos. You're on mute, Dave. Nothing to add. All right, Mr. Mr. Repay, anything?
No, I would like you to check. I sent you a nice fun text, a reminder.
Okay.
You're on stun, so it's okay.
Mrs. Lambert?
Nothing to add.
Ms. Bennett?
No.
The last thing is the understanding that Mr. Nimitz, after 8 years, might be departing us, disappointingly so. I just want to take this opportunity on the public record, Derek, to thank you for everything that you've done since you've been here. It's been outstanding, and we're all better for your involvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Be that as it may, disappointed, but the next meeting is set for February 19th, please check the website as it pertains to location, times, all that good stuff. And if there's nothing else for the greater good, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much, everybody. Stay warm.